for two. Kickers are extra, I give them the boot. Throw 'em for two. Sit back, relax while I grab me a brew. Now I'm reclining while putting my time and I'm ready to go. My spine is aligning and much like my lineups, my bank account grow. I am so rich, but knowledge is all that I'm leaving it with. Listen to this, multiple options, how far can I get? DFS Dynasty redraft tonight, I'm not finishing last. I'm finishing past, any and all, I am looking to last.
What else?
This spot is popping and I am so locked in, and only opening the door when it is opportunity knocking. And all of these spots keep on talking and talking, so what are we talking? What kind of alignment and running it deep, even players forgotten, or came from the bottom or hitting that topping. And this spot is popping, yeah, this spot is popping, and this is the armchair. Put up your arms, yeah. Sound the alarm, yeah. This is the armchair, yeah. Put up your arms, yeah. Sound the alarm,
What is going on, guys, and welcome to episode 238 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. Part of the Going for Two Live podcast network. We are here every Wednesday and Friday night on Facebook Live, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch. Syndicated in all major podcast networks, and of course, streaming in the Going for Two app for iOS and Android. I'm here with my co-host, as always. Actually, we're going quad box tonight, but Ryan, what's up, man?
Dude, it's a good week. It's starting to creep in the draft season now. I started watching prospects. I'm very excited now. Like, it's kind of that change. You know, it's not quite playoffs yet.
Yeah, you're a little bit ahead of me. I don't do it till after the season. I got too much going on to be studying prospects already.
I get bored at work, and instead of doing real work, I just
I wish put I had on a job YouTube like that.
And, you know.
All right, joining us on very short notice, he didn't even get the show sheet until like 2 minutes ago, if he even got it already. Y'all know this guy from the Friday podcast, the DFS show, Gerson. What's up, man?
What up? Unlike Ryan, I worked hard today, not hardly working. But yeah, I'm glad to be on here for the fantasy show. I was wondering when maybe I can peek in here one at a time during the year. But I know what Jeff is going to say. You're on the show on Friday and Sunday. What more do you want?
I know you already do two shows for us. All right. Also joining us tonight, Maddie Krall of a league of her own podcast, also co-hosts the Look Back podcast on drroto.com. You can follow her on Twitter at Maddie. Is it Kroll or Krall?
Maddie Krall.
Maddie Krall. Okay.
I'm the oldest of six, though, so I'll answer to anything.
Fair enough. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I just got off of a podcast with Doc. So I'm fresh. I'm ready to go. I'm excited.
Good stuff. For those that don't know who you are, kind of give us an idea of what you do in the fantasy space on Twitter and everything else.
So I'm still fairly new to the fantasy space, but luckily I've gotten some opportunities with a lot of different people. I write an article for drroto.com, and it is comparing offensive line and defensive line matchups. That's really what I like to do. I like to get in the trenches and evaluate things from there. And I also like to see how that affects your fantasy players each week.
Good stuff. Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and jump right into it.
And now, the five 101s.
All right, the way this works, I got five topics here. You're going to give me the 101 for that topic. And these were stalked your Twitter handle here to try to get some things that you might like that we can do some topics on. I saw you mentioned the coffee in there. Of course, you mentioned some video games as well. So that's what I made the topics here. So Gerson, we're going to bring you on here too. I mean, I don't know if you even drink coffee or not, but the first one here is your favorite coffee drink. What is your 101 coffee drink, Maddie?
I like Starbucks. I like the blonde vanilla iced latte.
Nice.
With an extra shot.
Going with the iced latte.
Mm-hmm.
Gerson, do you even drink coffee? I know you drink plenty of alcohol, but do you drink coffee?
Yeah. Well, if we could make Guinness beer into a coffee in the morning, but no.
Bailey's.
There you go.
Same thing, Bailey's. Right?
Yeah. Well, no, I actually I have a favorite coffee, but I don't drink it very often. I like it made by like certain people, which is either my mother or my grandfather when he passed away.
Oh, he passed away.
It's called Café con Leche. It's like a Nicaragua coffee.
Nice.
It's pretty pretty simple. It's milk, Folger coffee, and then like the right amount of sugar. And then I don't know, they put something else in it and it just tastes amazing.
Something else, some special ingredient.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, let's go to the next topic here. Favorite favorite video game of all time, Maddie.
This is easy. NBA Jam. This is the first video game I ever played. Nice. They're heating up. You know what I mean?
Nice. I love it.
What squad did you use? Who was your 2-on-2 team?
I don't, honestly, so whenever I started playing this, I was like, this came out whenever I was like 6, maybe. It might have even come out like, what was it, 1993 or something like that?
Yeah, I remember playing it.
I just remember like, I was terrible, and I would remember it would freeze up, and you'd have to pull it out and like blow really hard to get it to work again.
Yep.
But yeah, it was a great time.
Yeah, I'm going to show my age, but I actually played that game in the arcade. It was one of the first arcade games that you could put your name in, and when you came back the next day or the next week and you put your name in, it actually picked up where you left off. It was pretty cool. I actually lived.
Oh, that is dope.
I lived on a military base, and we had an arcade right there at a military base, so I'd go there like once a week and play NBA Jam on the arcade. So one of my favorites as well. Gerson, yeah. what's your 101 video game?
Ah, dude, it gotta be WrestleMania 2000, man. It was like
nice.
It was on the classic
Nintendo 64. Is one of the best. Either that, or I know a lot of people love this. NFL 2K8.
Oh yeah, before Madden took over.
With T.O.
Yep. Yeah, then Madden took over the license, and then they couldn't make any more football games anymore. But yeah, 2K was awesome. All right, let's go with this one's going to be an easy one for Gerson. Gerson, we'll go to you first on this one. 101 adult beverage.
I think he just called you an alcoholic.
Yeah. Gerson is known for, on our podcast, on our Friday show, it's an hour show, it's a DFS show, he'll finish a 12-pack of beer on show and have it a little stacked in the background of a pyramid.
Yeah.
So.
Maddie, it's okay. He can call me an alcoholic because I call him old every single show. So it's okay. I had an old joke for his video game, but I didn't want to do it on his Wednesday show. My favorite beverage is margarita. Like if it's an adult beverage, margarita. But other than that, everybody knows I love beer.
Yep.
Yeah. I thought for sure it was going to be beer. And then you're drinking a different beer than I feel like you normally do tonight.
Yeah, you never. What's that Corona sitting there? You don't ever drink Corona.
Yeah,
it's classy on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Blue Moon, too.
I ran out of Corona and I had a thick pack of Blue Moon. So I had to switch. You know,
nice.
I didn't know you were gonna be on the show.
I don't even know you anymore.
I can't do beer. I feel like if I had to guess what beer tastes like, it would be cat pee. Like it just smells gross. I'm not about it.
It's okay. We understand.
So what is your 101 adult beverage?
Oh, I'm tequila. Tequila and anything. Margaritas, I love it, but I could drink tequila straight. In fact, I scare people when I drink tequila because it just goes down.
Nice. Good stuff.
Hard pass.
Oh, all right. No. 101 artist or band. I'm going to go to you first, Gerson. I've known you for, 5 or 6 years, and I don't think I know even what kind of music you listen to. So what is your favorite artist or band?
I know I'm going to get hate on this, too. It's Linkin Park. I listen to them all the time.
No hate
when
there.
I'm like researching, when I'm you know, just hang, like chilling, even at the gym. Just I don't go to the gym no more, as you can tell, but when I did, you know.
When you drive by the gym?
But no. Yeah, I'm like one day I'll get a membership again. I pulled my elbow muscle. No more.
We're in a recession.
Just COVID. Blame everything on COVID. COVID.
There you go.
You don't want to expose yourself at the gym.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, Linkin Park's a great answer. I love Linkin Park. What about you, Maddie? What's your 101 artist or band?
Man, this is so difficult. I like a lot of different types of music, and I'm all across the board, but love some Maroon 5. Really like Drake, Taylor Swift. You're laughing. I've told you I'm all over the board. When I'm like concentrating or even when I'm breaking down film, I really like to listen to classical music. I've always been that way when I'm focusing. And I've recently found Vitamin String Quartet, which covers like all types of popular songs, nice. So mainstream songs, and I really like that.
Good stuff. Yeah, I got a funny story about Taylor Swift. So my daughter is on my Spotify, and she loves Taylor Swift. And at the end of the year, Spotify...
You've been listening to the Red Album, haven't you?
Yeah, Spotify does that like...
an entire weekend, yeah.
Yeah, they do that top artist of your year, like a year in review, and of course, Taylor Swift's right at the top. And I'm like, it's not me, guys, it's not me. But yeah, my daughter loves Taylor Swift. All right.
Great taste. Oh, great taste.
All right, last one here. Fast food French fries. Maddie, we'll go to you first. What's your favorite fast food French fries?
I'm fully prepared to take all the heat that I'm going to get from this, but I don't like French fries that much.
Oh,
just not my thing. If I have... If they have cheese on them and if they're like drenched in hot sauce, but... I'm just not a big French fry gal.
Fair enough. Gerson, what about you?
Probably the Arby's French fry, the curly one. I like those ones.
The tastes are just like how fun they are.
Yeah, Arby's are kind of a sleeper. It's kind of a sleeper French fry. It's not one that we've had on here before.
The Arby's sauce is good too.
Yep.
I mean, fast food we're saying here, right? Fast food.
Yeah, all fast food. Yep. All right, let's get to the news and notes.
News and notes from around the league.
News and notes, as always, brought to you by the Dynasty Trade Calculator. Everybody hates bad trade offers, right? No one wants to be that guy. Never make a bad offer again with Dynasty Trade Calculator. Visit goingfor2.com/DTC. Sign up for $15 a year. That's right. All you do is go to goingfor2.com/DTC. Get the best trade calculator for $15 a year. Stop guessing. Start calculating. All right. First topic here. And I'll go to you first, Maddie, on this one. So Aaron Jones is expected to miss a couple of weeks here. A.J. Dillon, if he steps into that role there, where do you think he ranks with the running backs this week? Like where are you putting him? Is he top 12? Is he just a RB2? What are you doing with him this week?
So in one of my leagues, whenever I picked up Jones, I actually picked up Dillon for this reason. And I'm comfortable starting him as a flex.
Definitely. What about you, Gerson? What are your thoughts on Dillon?
I think Dillon is a good start this week, but if I were anybody, I'd try to trade him to get value for later in the season because I believe he's just going to be a 2-week to 3-week starter. Actually, just a 2-week starter because they have a bye week in 3 weeks, right?
Yeah.
So I'll try to get depth for the playoff run.
Trade him to the Aaron Jones owner because he's in desperate need right now. That's a good call.
That's true.
Ryan, what's your thoughts on A.J. Dillon?
I think he's an RB1 until he's not starting. Like, he's going to get volume. He had 21 attempts last week. He'll probably get that when he comes back. I kind of disagree with trading him to the Aaron Jones owner. So if they're making a deal to get better this year, that means they're going for a title too. And you don't want to give them that added protection that you could take away.
Yeah.
So I'm fully against that.
Unless he offers you a haul.
He's not.
Like, what if he offers you a haul?
Give you an idea, I had an A.J. Dillon offer today, and then I picked up Cam Newton last week when he was, like, immediately got that alert on Sleeper. Sorry, I don't know if I'm supposed to say that here, but...
No, you're fine. We're not sponsored by anybody.
Yeah, so if I get, like, I got the alert, I added Cam Newton, and then today I got offered A.J. Dillon for Cam Newton, and I already had 3 good quarterbacks. I was like, all right, I'll just take the depth of A.J. Dillon and
Super move flex, on, obviously. Know?
Super. And we don't know how healthy or how good or full speed we're going to get Aaron Jones back. Like, he could be back in body and not like him.
Good point. Mm-hmm. Good point.
That is a great point.
Speaking of guys that are coming back, let's talk about CEH a little bit here. I know, Gerson, I'm going to go to you first because I know you are a big CEH guy. He's returning week 11. Are you plugging him into your lineup right away, or are you a little bit worried about that?
I'm pretty sure if you've been starting Darrell Williams, you're going to start CEH over him. So, I mean, it's just, and running back is so thin this year for you to get to have depth. Only way you had depth is if you had like those running back by committee backup like Connor and those other ones that have fallen into place, A.J. Dillon. But yeah, I'm starting him. I mean, if he's a flex worthy start for me, but it's the Kansas City Chiefs. They looked alive last week, though, against my Las Vegas Raiders. But okay.
Yeah, they did kind of dismantle y'all a little bit. What about you, Maddie? What are your thoughts on CEH and his return? Are you plugging him right into your lineup?
Absolutely not, especially not this week. They're about to get shut down. I feel like Parsons is going to come in and just blow that up. They're going to take advantage of the tackle position, specifically Orlando Brown Jr., and I don't feel like this is a good week to start him.
All right, good stuff. Ryan, what are your thoughts? You're the tiebreaker here.
I love any trash talk towards Orlando Brown. He can suck it.
Boomer Sooner. Like, I went to school there. Like, I've met him, but just they're going to make him play athletic, and he doesn't have that in him. He's just not very athletic.
No, and I've enjoyed the struggles this year just as a Ravens fan. I'm bitter.
Hey, I'm a Ravens fan, too.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Finally,
we had,
Jeff.
That's two.
This is the first time in
that's 200-plus
episodes Jeff's invited another Ravens fan on there for me.
That's two. Oh, man, I got to start asking who your favorite team is and not bring Ravens fan on anymore.
But, no, I think I agree with Maddie on this. I'm not, like, I feel like we all forget what CEH was before he got hurt. And that was not a great fantasy asset. And yes, their offense was moving, but guess what? The offense goes through Travis Kelce. It goes through Tyreek Hill, and then everything else is an afterthought.
Yeah.
And Dallas's defense is playing better. It's going to be a game. It's a shootout. So it's not going to be a CEH game. Like, they're not going to come in and say, okay, we're going to run the ball, control it. No, we're going to put up 40 points because that's what Dallas does. It's a game script. It's everything. And it's the fact he might not be that great. If I started him on a deep flex or I'm starting two flex, I guess, but I don't feel good about it.
Yeah.
I don't think that he's not that great, but just schematically, the Chiefs, they don't have a use for him. You know what I mean? He's not in an environment to explode.
Yeah.
And that's just not going to happen where he's at.
No, it's not.
Go ahead, Gerson.
What happened week 3 and week 4? I mean, he got almost 20 touches in both games and he did pretty good. I mean, I understand you guys' point, but I do think the Cowboys defense is pretty good. So maybe you guys have changed my mind, but I don't really have options in certain leagues that Jeff knows I have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, so I have to start him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an in the vacuum thing.
Yeah, it's definitely in the vacuum. This is if you got like a pretty good team and you've been starting maybe Darrell Williams or somebody like that. I think the one thing I will say to CEH is if, you know, when he was in there, the offense seemed to be different. They still thought that Mahomes could just throw the ball 50 times a game and win. And I think since they've kind of struggled a little bit, they've changed that philosophy a little bit and they're running more than they were when they had CEH back there. So if they continue that sort of trend, I could see CEH getting enough volume to be viable for a flex option. But at the same time, Darrell Williams did pretty good when he was in there. So maybe now it's more of a backfield by committee. So then it sort of takes away from both guys. So it'll be.
And are you going to get really pound the rock 20 times with somebody who just got back when your other back's playing okay?
Yep. That's a good point. All right, let's talk about Mr. Cam Newton a little bit here. So not so much about starting Cam Newton or playing Cam Newton. I'm more worried about the ancillary pieces here. You know, is Robbie Anderson going to show up with Cam Newton? Is DJ Moore going to be saved with Cam Newton? So I'm going to go to you first, Maddie, on your thoughts here with Cam Newton and what he does for that offense.
I think that in the past, obviously I don't know exactly how he's going to play here. Quarterbacks running the Patriot offense is completely different than what he's going to be doing with the Panthers. But he holds on to the ball too long, and you can't do that behind that offensive line. So I think that this week we're gonna see some problems, and I think that's only going to continue.
Fair point. Gerson, what you got?
Yeah, I mean, I think with Cam Newton, he's going to struggle, but not like to the point where he's not worthy to start in like super flex leagues. I mean, if you picked him up, you already gained a good starter for a quarterback super flex league. But 15 points, not out of the realm, but I'm not excited for him.
What about DJ Moore? What about DJ Moore or Robbie Anderson? You think either one of those two benefit from him being there?
I think it benefits to Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey had his best years with Cam. So, I mean, but and the other thing is, DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson, I mean, they were getting the ball thrown by like PJ Walker, Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold was awesome the first, what?
Couple of games, yeah. Weeks or
so. Yeah, but I think it can't hurt their value. I think it can only go up, and the whole team looks happy to have him back.
So yeah.
Hopefully it works out.
What about you, Ryan? What are your thoughts on Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore? I know you love DJ Moore.
I know who I want it to be, and I know who I think is better, and I think it's DJ Moore, obviously. But Cam Newton is that quarterback when he finds a guy he likes, he peppers their ass. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I don't think we know who that is because he's thrown one pass so far.
Yeah, it was Robbie Anderson for a touchdown.
If this week, we're going to see who he likes, and whoever that is gets a boost from here on out. But I don't know who it is. I think it should be DJ Moore because they have some rapport, and he's obviously better. But, like, we don't know until it happens.
Yep. We lost your camera there, Maddie. Are you still with us? Maybe not.
Back. Okay.
Oh, right, there we go. All right.
Sorry about that, guys. Technical difficulties. Let's
talk about OBJ a little bit. We saw him on Thursday night. Didn't do a whole lot. Obviously, we weren't expecting a whole lot from him because he hadn't learned the playbook yet. They do have a bye week this week, so he has some chance to learn the playbooks. But, Gerson, I'm going to go to you first on OBJ, and what do you think his value is rest of the season?
Low wide receiver 3. I mean, I don't see him being a top 24 wide receiver. Maybe, you know, like a flex start. If I'm anything, I'm trying to do a 2-for-1 trade with OBJ to someone that either likes him or so I'm just trying to get value out of him.
Yeah.
Right now, at week 11, all the way like till playoff, I'm trying to build that starting foundation for my playoff run.
Yeah.
You know,
good call.
So, I mean, we saw the 49ers owned the Rams. Let's get that out of the way.
Yes, they did. Like, I was going to wear this hat tonight, but I decided to wear the Tag Strong hat, but I didn't want to rub it.
You made a good choice. Thank you. But OBJ is just, we know where he is. I mean, he's kind of a drama queen, too. So, like, I don't really know how he's going to do, you know?
What about you, Maddie? What are your thoughts on OBJ rest of the season?
I agree with that. I should put it out there. I'm not an OBJ fan at all. I haven't been. I agree. I think he's a drama queen. I think that when you have problems everywhere you go, eventually the problem's you. As far as the Rams go, they run a lot out of empty. And yeah, they looked terrible last week. I think that that had more to do with, for some reason, Stafford, the receivers weren't clicking. There was just no chemistry, you know. There wasn't even a whole lot of defensive stops. It was just more of that offense wasn't meshing. Was it too much change going on? I'm not sure. You know, they accepted in 2 players. That's a lot on a locker room. But as for OBJ as a fantasy player, I'm not big on him solely because the Rams are running a lot out of empty and it's been working okay for them, but they haven't been great with pass protection. And with that many options on the field, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to confidently start a fantasy player just because you don't know exactly what they're going to get when.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I think what the issue with the Rams were, at least on Monday night when I watched it, I think McVay kind of fell in love with the passing game. I mean, in the beginning of the season, they were running the ball a lot. You know, Stafford was hitting the big plays because the play action fake was there. But they were dropping back to pass literally every time. I have a guy that owns Jarrell Henderson in my league, and he's like, give the ball to Jarrell Henderson, and he just wasn't doing it. They just kept passing. So I think that's what killed them. I think this bye week will help them. They'll get back to the running game a little bit. Ryan, what are your thoughts on OBJ? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Maddie. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no. I was just going to say for me, it looked like the exact same game when the Rams played the 49ers last year. It was the exact same thing. The 49ers didn't do anything differently, and the Rams – literally played straight into it. I actually think the Rams should run more play action.
Yeah.
I think that it would run out to their benefit.
Agreed. What about you, Ryan? What are your thoughts on OBJ rest of the season?
I kind of want to be positive just because everybody else kind of
poo-pooed in a little bit.
I want to be positive to be different. So I'm going to
Ryan, come on.
Come to the dark side.
I don't mind him on my bench because he is a high-quality dart throw. Because you never know. It could click.
Yep.
Am I putting him anywhere near my starting lineup? No. Like, absolutely not. And as what if, a throw-in on a trade...
Let me give you a scenario then. What if you're Robert Woods' owner and you have OBJ now? Robert Woods was starting for you.
I mean, I'm still starting whoever my backup was before I started OBJ.
Fair.
But I'd be hopeful. Like, we've seen worse wide receivers come in a backup role and thrive.
Good stuff.
I mean, I'm not excited about it, but I'm okay with having him on my bench.
Yeah,
like, he's not someone I'm just cutting. Like, he's worth the dart throw. If he does click with Stafford, he could be really good.
Yeah.
There's like a 3% chance, though.
Yeah, I think Stafford
Or he could be a drama queen and cause drama and ruin the whole audience.
That's what I'm hoping for. As a 49ers fan, I hope
he just pushes him over the edge, and he's going to be on the front page of TMZ. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah,
like
he's going to get into trouble in LA.
Oh, I know. I've been to LA. Yeah, he'll definitely
get in trouble. He has no self control.
None.
No, you know OBJ was leaning over.
Who's been there before? Yeah, you're right.
OBJ was leaning over Matthew Stafford's shoulder. Hey, yo, what's your Instagram handle? You're gonna get a tag later on.
All right, let's do one last topic here, and this one is just for Ryan. I'm going to go to Ryan first here on this one. Mr. Joe Flacco is going to get the start for the Jets this week, and I'm not really worried about Joe Flacco, but Corey Davis, Elijah Moore, the tight ends, we know he loves his tight ends. Is there anybody that increases their value with Joe Flacco as a starter?
I mean, Joe Flacco is elite, and the Jets are going to win until he's out of there. Flacco might target a lot. Elijah Moore a good bit because he just likes taking deep shots, and he like either goes deep or like three yard dump offs, and those are both places where Elijah Moore thrives. So he could be okay, but I don't want to start him or play him or have anything to do with that.
Yeah,
even though Flacco is going to come bring the Jets to greatness and doing their draft position.
So, I mean, starting any Jets right now, I think, is probably a scary proposition, no matter who the quarterback is. But
he doesn't dump off the running backs very often, so that hurts.
Yeah.
Like Carter, it's gross. Like, it's gross.
So I gave this topic to Ryan, but that was before I knew that Maddie was also a Ravens fan, too. So what are your thoughts of Flacco and the Jets?
Man, my honest opinion, I think Flacco's there because they know he's going to get murdered in the pocket. So I don't think there's any fantasy value associated with that game at all.
No, I just hope he doesn't get hurt.
Yeah,
it's a serious concern. I truly, in my heart, I believe that that's the reason why Joe Flacco is taking snaps is because they know the quarterback's about to get murdered.
he's there to be the prop, just to protect the other quarterback.
I think he's that scapegoat.
Wow,
he can't even slide when he runs a QB sneak for 3 yards.
He can't.
Poor man.
I mean, honestly, if it was him or Roethlisberger, I think I'd even choose Big Ben. I really do. Wow. Like that's rough.
Wow.
Ooh, coming from a Raven fan.
No mobility.
Yeah.
Oh, how about Mason Rudolph?
That's like gun to my head.
how about if it's Mason Rudolph, which it could be? Oh,
poor Mason Rudolph. You know, the kid's got heart, just no talent. You know what I'm saying? He's all right. He's just not made for the NFL. You know what I'm saying? You could tell he was giving his all, but that was sad. That was sad.
It was pretty brutal.
Do you have kids, by chance?
Do I have kids?
That speech would be great, you know? Look, sweetie, you have talent. You have heart, but
I have kids. I'm sure that's why.
No, I'm sure you'll be great like, one day.
That's like so, after a bad game. I understand.
I actually see you guys' point though. Like maybe he's just out there to be like a tackling dummy, but in reality, I don't think Zach Wilson's that good either. So, and I've said it before the season.
Shut your mouth, Gerson.
Yeah, Gerson's a Zach Wilson hater.
I think that Zach Wilson wasn't set up for success.
No.
You know what I mean?
Going to the Jets is just the problem to begin with.
It is. He has.
I remember a quarterback for the Buffalo Bills who completed 52% of his passes his first year, but who am I to judge a quarterback on four starts?
Hey.
The Bills' offensive line isn't that great, but it's 10 times. I would be peeing on my panties if I had to stand behind that offensive line.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. It is pretty brutal. All right, let's get to some stock up, stock down.
Stock up, stock down.
All right, Gerson, you didn't have any time to prep for this, so I don't even know if you have any stock up, stock down players. So I'll go to you first, Ryan. Give me one of your stock up players.
For some reason, I was ready for the... Actually, I'm going to stick with it because I'm going to kind of be weird for this one.
Sure.
I'm having this player is both my stock up and stock down.
Okay.
It's the first time ever, and that's Ramondre Stevenson. I think his stock absolutely boosted up this week. We saw what he could do as a lead back, and I'm freaking excited about it. Like, he looked like a beast out there. But the big but is That's great long term, like later in the year or next season. But Damian Harris is coming back, and it's stock down this week. It's going back to that committee. Like, I think we went past the point where he should be valued, and we're going to bounce down. It's just, it's kind of in that middle of that roller coaster.
Yeah.
So I copped out and took two on that same one, but like, he's both, he really is both for me because I wanted to talk about him before that.
Fair.
But it's in the other side.
All right, Maddie, stock up. What do you got?
Okay, so if we're talking long term, I think that Robert Woods, if you can get him, I feel like long term, go ahead and get him on the roster. And then if you haven't already gotten James Conner, scoop him in.
Yeah, I like that. I like Robert Woods, especially in dynasty leagues for sure, because the people are going to be selling him pretty cheap.
They're selling him so cheap right now.
I'm upset that I haven't even thought about that. But yeah, there might be some offers set tonight.
Gerson, you got any stock up players?
Yeah, stock up with AJ Dillon. It ain't that hard. I mean,
yep,
that's I saw easy that one. Right away. I'm like, AJ Dillon has to be the highest guy that got the highest stock. And you know, those guys that owned him in Dynasty are shopping for this, like, shops. They're like waiting to see how good he does. And then basically, they're going to hope, you know, well, let's see if Aaron Jones and this thing, he can take over Aaron Jones. I really don't like AJ Dillon. I think he's kind of just a plotter, but. I get the love for him, but stock down. I didn't really have a lot of time to prepare for this, but I think to me it's Deontay Johnson. If Mason Rudolph keep playing, I hope he doesn't start this week because Big Ben is a much better quarterback, and I was really high on Deontay Johnson with Chase Claypool going down and Juju going down. I was seeing top 10 wide receiver right there. All
then
over.
Big Ben went down too. It was that was brutal.
Yeah, I don't know. At least Big Ben is actually a smart person, a good leader for actually, you know, saying, hey, I got COVID, you know, and this and that, a.k.a. Mr. Aaron Rodgers. Maybe learn a thing or two about being a leader for your team. But, yeah, don't be a liar.
All right, I'm going to go stock up here. Someone that we probably didn't even know his name until this past week, Mr. Marcus Johnson for the Tennessee Titans, the number two receiver now. The clear number two. I think he ran the most routes on that team except for A.J. Brown, obviously. And the few games without Julio, I know this is the first week he actually did anything with him, but the three games without Julio, he's had five targets, and this past week, six targets. So that's pretty good volume for a guy that we didn't even know his name a couple weeks ago. So Marcus Johnson for the Titans is my stock up. Ryan, give me one of your stock downs.
Dude, every time I want to go the opposite. For my stock down, it kind of goes back to your question that was on the show sheet, and that's Corey Davis. I think we have put that last nail in the coffin right now. He was starting to struggle once Zach Wilson was out. He slowly started to lose his role. Then Elijah Moore's popping out. Now there's Joe Flacco. And as she was talking about, the offensive line is not in this position for anybody to succeed. And he, any of these backup quarterbacks, guess what? He wasn't working with them in the offseason. So I'm going to go with him.
All right. Good stuff.
Sorry, Jeff. I know that's your boy.
Yeah, he's kind of my boy, but I got him on my bench in my league, so he's not starting this week. All right, Maddie, what do you got for your stock down?
All right, you guys are going to think I'm crazy.
Uh-oh.
But Antonio Gibson, coming off the week he had, you're going to be able to sell for a lot, get rid of him. He's not going to be able to do much against Carolina, and I think that we've seen him peak. So if it were me, I'd capitalize on what he did last week and just...
Just wash your hands of it. Actually, it's funny because I almost had Gibson on my stock down. I didn't actually put him down there because I actually loved Gibson coming into the season, but he almost made that list as well because that Panthers defense is legit. I mean, they are really good. So, yeah, I almost agree with that one as well. All right, let's go
everybody
back.
Everybody made fun of them. Everybody made fun of the Carolina Panthers last year when they drafted all defense at the draft. And I'm like, y'all never play Madden, you know? They progress very fast in 1 year, you know?
Yeah.
The ratings go up. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Definitely. All right. We'll go back around one more time here. Give us a stock up, and I'll go to you, Maddie, first this time.
Stock up?
Stock up.
I'm going more. I like Bateman.
Nice.
I really do. I like Bateman. And if you have a roster spot for him, I think that it's just the beginning, especially I think this is Bateman's week.
I like it. I love Bateman. Everyone knows I drafted Bateman over every receiver this year in Dynasty except for Chase. Yeah, I had him as my number two receiver. So I drafted him over Devontae Smith. I drafted him over Jalen Waddle. I loved Bateman. So
I think I hyped him up so much for you before the draft.
That's probably what it is.
Then you just like took it farther.
Yeah, that's true.
Like he was my wide receiver four, and I was pretty high. I felt like I was high on him, and you just ran with it.
Yeah, I just took it away.
And I feel like you can really get him cheap right now.
Yeah.
And he's available almost everywhere.
Yep.
If you'd have heard us before the draft, he's all I talked about.
Yeah.
For like 2 months.
Yeah.
Was how much I liked him more.
My guy was.
You're a diehard.
He's a diehard.
Yeah.
My guy was Elijah Mitchell, who's panning out too pretty good. So I'm happy with that one.
Your guy?
Elijah Mitchell, 49ers.
Okay.
That was my guy. Gerson, you got another stock up? I know you're probably trying to find somebody frantically, but you got another one?
Oh man. Yeah. This guy was my guy in the offseason. I mean, Ryan knows that there's CD Lamb, and I think his stock up is going even higher and higher. I think right now, I would.
What leagues are you in where CD Lamb's available? First of all, I need to get on this.
Is he supposed to be available?
Not available. Just someone to be like.
I'm not having to give up an arm, a leg, and a quarterback.
Okay. Yeah. So like here's the way to put it. CD Lamb right now, I bet you. He's the number one dynasty wide receiver. Everybody can have him like number one by next year.
Because
he just get higher and higher. But I hate this because we did this with AJ Brown, DK Metcalf, Justin Jefferson.
He's like, better than that.
But I think CeeDee Lamb talent and the supporting cast that he has can only make him better.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we had a lot of question marks with Ryan Tannehill, with AJ Brown. Russell Wilson is probably going to leave after this year or get traded. Who else?
Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins. Yeah, there you go.
He is PFF's QB too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Let me tell you.
Yeah. No thanks.
I love CeeDee Lamb, and his stock has risen all the way up to number one now.
All right, my other stock up is a player that is coming. He came back from injury the week before his bye, but people are still down on him a little bit, and that's David Montgomery. When I checked the Fantasy Pros rankings, he was still ranked as an RB2, a middle RB2. I think he's probably going to be closer to an RB1. Going against that Baltimore Ravens defense, which gets a lot of name value for defense, but they're not actually that great on defense.
Hey, everybody's hurt.
Yeah, that still counts. You know, if they're all hurt, it's still.
The name value is cool on a defense if everybody's there, but the names aren't there.
Fair. But I think David Montgomery has a pretty good week this week against Baltimore.
Do I still get to do my stock up?
Did you? Do a stock up. Do one more stock up.
I wanted to mention this guy because it's weird because he's the QB2 or 3 right now, but I feel like everybody hates him and you can still trade for him. That's Jalen Hurts.
Oh.
Jalen
Hurts is a big one.
I don't
hate
him.
Absolutely.
I think you can trade for him fairly cheap still because nobody likes him. But he is literally not through season one yet. He's a game away from season one, and he's improving every week somehow and still performing in fantasy. The passing numbers are ugly, so you can get him.
Yeah, I saw a stat that Ryan McDowell put out, and I was trying to find out while you were talking, but he had QB1s for each week, you know, listed. Yeah, how many QB1s?
He has 9 or something.
He has 9, and then it was like dot, 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 and then the next quarterback has like 4, and I forget who it was, but yeah, he has 9 QB1 weeks this week.
We act like he's trash. Like, everybody acts like he's terrible.
Yep.
And I don't get it.
But they're also starting to cater to his talents, right? He's taking more and more snaps under center, which is what he's comfortable with. We're watching that happen. He's more decisive with his receivers. He can attack the run game. That extra second of being able to gather and read the defense, that's what he's good with. And that offensive line is going to cater to that. They're solid.
Yep.
He's going to be the quarterback that you want, especially in a 2-quarterback league. Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. And it's going to keep getting better.
All right, we're running up against the clock here, so I want to make sure that we get to our prop bet, our sponsor here, so let's get to that next.
Going for Two Live and PlayPickup.com present the Pickup Props of the Week.
Prop Bets of the Week are brought to you by PlayPickup.com. Look for Play Pickup props embedded in all of our articles at GoingFor2.com. Play those prop bets for free. Be sure to enter your number to verify your pick, and you can win some free stuff. Visit PlayPickup.com for more details. All right, so we got our five prop bets this week. We'll go just around the room here and give me who you think this is. So the first one here is, who leads the Cowboys and Chiefs game in receiving yards? Options, obviously, are Amari Cooper, Tyreek Hill, CeeDee Lamb, Travis Kelce, or somebody else. I'll go to you first, Gerson. Who do you like in that group there to lead the entire game in receiving yards? You just pumped your boy up, CeeDee Lamb. That'd be a simple choice for me, right?
Yeah, but I think I have to go with Tyreek Hill because Stephon Diggs bites so hard on double
move. Not Stephon Diggs. You mean Trayvon Diggs.
Trayvon Diggs. Yeah. Well, as we like to call it in our chat row, is Stephon Diggs' brother. Nobody ever called him by his name. I'm like, that's messed up, guys. Put some respect on his name. But yeah, I have to say Tyreek.
Tyreek. Ryan, who are you going with here?
Yeah, Tyreek, Trevon Diggs, while he's been an interception machine, he is 166th in yards allowed to wide receivers this year.
Yeah.
Like, he gets roasted. And
he's like those hitters in baseball that either get a home run or strike out. That's basically what he is. He either gets the home run interception or he gives it the big play.
Yeah, like, he's going to give up. And Tyreek Hill's going to get a big play on you. Like, it's a fact. He does it to good corners.
Yep. Maddie, what about you? What are you going here? Cooper, Lamb, Hill, or Kelce?
I am going CeeDee Lamb. And yeah. Just so I truly feel like what's gonna happen is they're gonna move Micah Parsons down. He's gonna rattle Patrick Mahomes a few times in the first quarter, and they're gonna go man and that with CeeDee Lamb and Trayvon Diggs and Tyreek Hill, and he's not even going to get the look because Patrick Mahomes is going to throw the ball away. So what's going to happen?
All right. Going with CeeDee Lamb. Actually, that's what I'm going with as well. I'm going CeeDee Lamb as well. Tyreek Hill is actually the favorite of the group here from the field. Cooper got 3%. CeeDee Lamb got 6%. Kelce got 33%. And Tyreek Hill got 55%. So lots of Tyreek love there. But I think you're right, Maddie. I think CeeDee Lamb is the one I'm going with here. I think the Chiefs side of things, they find a way to slow Tyreek Hill down. All right, we're going to do the same.
I'm telling you, that left side of the line is going to be a problem for the Chiefs.
All right, good stuff. All right, let's go to the next one here. Who will have more receiving yards in the Green Bay-Minnesota game? Obviously, we got Devontae Adams, Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, or someone else. We'll go to you first this time, Maddie. Who do you think out of those three gets the most receiving yards in the Green Bay-Minnesota game?
I'm going to go Adams.
All right. Yeah,
I think Adam wins out most of the time.
Yeah, that's probably the chalk answer there because, I mean, he gets so many targets from Aaron Rodgers. And
when he's not open.
Yep.
Like when he's trying to catch the ball, he comes down with it. So
agreed. Ryan, what about you? You going different here?
Yeah, I'm going to take my boy Justin Jefferson.
I knew you would.
he's been unlocked. This Minnesota team, it's had the talent. It's been close. But, like, this is the first week they look really good. And you know why they look good? Because they force-fed him the ball.
Yep.
And he went bonkers. They're going to stick with it. They're going to be smart. They're going to see what worked. And they're going to give Justin Jefferson the ball. And he's going to ball out again.
Yeah, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was a career high in targets, a career high in receptions. And I think it was close to his career high in yards for this last game.
Yeah, they force-fed him and he balled out and they won.
Yep.
Like, pay attention to what you're doing.
All right, Gerson, what do you got here? Adams, Jefferson, Thielen.
Alexander's still out, right? So, I mean, yeah. I'm probably going to have to go with Devontae Adams either way. But Devontae Adams killed Minnesota. I mean, last year, I mean, he just roasted them. Last year, he had a 3-touchdown game. While it was only 53 yards, but a 3-touchdown game, 12 targets. Then before that, he had 17 targets. 14 receptions, 156 yards, 2 touchdowns. Then before that, another game, 16 targets, 13 receptions, 116 yards. This guy has had 100-yard games with them 4 out of the last 5 games. So I have to go with Devontae Adams.
That's good stats there. And I think I'm going Adams as well. It is, like I said, it is the chalk answer. And we could tell from the field, too. They're all on Adams. Jefferson.
Me and my 13%.
Yeah.
That's exactly. Not happening.
Yeah, everybody went Adams on that one. All right, so now the couple, next couple we're going to have here are just going to be comparing two guys that are playing in the same game. We got Terry McLaurin versus DJ Moore. Who will have more receiving yards in week 11? We'll go to you first, Gerson.
That's tough because Cam Newton. More timely. Oh, man. I'm going to have to go Terry McLaurin. For me, that's at least they have a report right now. But I know they played together, DJ Moore and Cam Newton, but I'm going to have to go McLaurin.
Fair. All right, Maddie, what do you got here?
I'm doing the same. Going McLaurin for basically the same reasons. I think that Cam's going to have a rough week. He's going to come in off of his debut high, and it's not going to look good.
It's not going to be as good.
I'm back.
Yeah.
I'm back.
I'm back. Flag.
Brian, what do you got here? Are you going with your boy?
No, I'm taking McLaurin.
Take him McLaurin.
I'm playing the floor on this. It's safe. Like I said, we need to know who Cam likes first. I'm not taking the chance.
Yeah, I'm going McLaurin as well. Sweep that one. All right, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. We talked about him already this week or this show. Let's talk about him a little bit more. Total yards versus Dallas. This is an over-under in total yards. And it's set at 79.5 total yards. Gerson, you're the Edwards-Helaire lover here, so go ahead and give us what you think here.
79.5.
Going under? Why, you don't think he can get 79 yards total, receiving and running?
No, because I think they're going to share the ball. And what's his name? Well, frick, even Gore and William, I think they're just going to limit him, bring him in. I'll be honest now, thinking about what you guys said about him, I'm probably not going to start him. I'm going to try to find my hardest way to find a replacement. But yeah, I think he's going to go under. Even though that game's going to be a high-scoring environment game, I still think the usage won't be there. The market share won't be there. So hopefully, 79 is a lot of yards for a running back. So you have to be getting a lot of workload to get 79 yards in a game.
All right, Ryan, where are you going here? Over, under on Edwards-Helaire, 79.5.
Yeah, I've gone under. I don't know if he'll get the volume. And like I said, game plan, game script, we don't know how healthy he really is. I'm not there.
All right, Maddie, you going under or over?
I'm going under. I think that if the Chiefs have any chance, it's going to be targeting the middle of the field, and he's not great with that. Also, we don't know what he's going to look like off this injury. I don't think it's not a good situation.
Yep, I'm going under as well on that one. Last one here, total yards for Alvin Kamara versus the Eagles. The over-under is set at 99.5, so basically 100 yards or more. Maddie, I'm going to go to you. Over-under, 99.5 for Alvin Kamara versus the Eagles.
That's a lot.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
I'm going under. I don't think he's going to get that.
All right, under for Kamara. What about you, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm going under. It's a lot of yards. He's not fully healthy. He just got back to practice. Mark Ingram showed he still has enough juice to kind of let him get weaned into it. So I'm saying under.
All right.
Yeah.
Gerson?
It's a great point about Ingram.
I'm going to go under just because based on the injury. I mean, he did get over 100 yards before and against Atlanta, but Mark Ingram, he kind of got more workload, and he looked really good last week, like really freaking good. He had a hell of a clean route, like at the running back, and I was like,
are we not allowed to swear on the show anymore?
No, we're allowed to swear. Okay. Gerson knows that.
The memo.
Gerson drops the F-bomb on the Friday show.
I was waiting for somebody to drop a dirty word, so I could.
Well, I apologize. Hold on. I apologize, but you see, my mom will bitch slap my ass if I swear in front of a lady, and we have a lady on the show. I apologize, okay? But anyway, yes, I think it'll be under because 99 is a lot of yards.
Yep, I'm going under as well on Alvin Kamara. I think his first game back, they'll probably lean on Ingram a little bit more, so give me under as well.
I'm so embarrassed.
Why are you embarrassed? Because you're about to get bitch slapped by your mom.
Can we get that on camera? Can we get that
it's
on camera?
It's happened to the best of us. It's fine.
You know, if you recorded it, it would go. You would get viral.
Yeah. Guys, my mom's not watching a fantasy football show. Don't worry about it.
All right, let's get to some of these listener questions here. We've got a couple trade questions here and a couple waiver questions as well. So I'm not sure how to say this. CW Yant 22. So he's got Javonte Williams or AJ Dillon for waivers. Let's just take those two right there. Let's just say this is a sit start question. Javonte Williams, AJ. No, let's just say rest of the season. Javonte Williams, AJ Dillon. Who do you want, Gerson?
Javonte Williams.
Rest of the season, you think Javonte Williams has more value? Because
I think Dillon's
probably
toward the end.
Go ahead.
Toward the end of the season, they're going to see what they have in Javonte Williams. AJ Dillon would be great for the next 2 weeks, but if I'm getting Javonte Williams for the playoff push and as a depth piece, I'm going to go Javonte Williams.
All right. I'm going to give you that second half of that question here, Ryan. He wants to know, should he drop Claypool for Bateman?
Yes. Claypool's dead in the water, man.
He's done.
Even my hating of the Steelers, like, Claypool, somebody I was high on before the season, and my God, is he disappointed. Like, it's sad. This offense is a mess. He's hurt. Bateman's out here making plays, and kind of like Maddie said, that breakout's coming real quick.
Yeah.
And Lemur Jackson, who's in the questions,
He's
about to give him the ball.
All right, so let's go to Rick T's question here, Maddie. He wants to know, so Logan Thomas, he has on IR, getting ready to come off. This is a standard league, so that's very key there because it's not points per reception. He wants to know, rest of season, do you want Schultz, Logan Thomas, or Hunter Henry rest of season in a standard league?
I like Schultz, especially with Jarwin gone. I like Schultz, although there are a lot of options. You know, the Cowboys have a lot of weapons going on, but I feel like Schultz is going to win out middle of the field a lot in their upcoming game. So I'm going Schultz.
Yeah, I agree there, too. I think that if you look at the offenses that they play in, I think Schultz plays in the best offense. And in a standard league, you want touchdowns, and he has the best opportunity to score touchdowns. So I agree 100%.
Mm-hmm. Why do you have four tight ends, though? Like,
The other question.
Like,
trade two of those tight ends.
Yeah. No, you don't need any tight ends, especially the, you know, because, you can get value from one of those guys at least.
Yeah, somebody out there is desperate for tight end and will overpay.
Yeah, because you've got them all.
Yeah.
You have literally one quarter of the tight end ones. Like,
leverage that.
All right, Gerson, I'm going to go to you on this next one because I know how much you love this guy. This is a trade offer. So it's Darrell Henderson and Antonio Brown. He's trading away, and he's getting DeAndre Swift. Which side do you like on that one?
Yeah, he's trading away DeAndre Swift.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I read that backwards. So he's trading away DeAndre Swift, and he's getting Darrell Henderson and Antonio Brown.
I'm keeping DeAndre Swift. We don't even know what the hell is going on with Antonio Brown. Like, this guy was on crutches last time we saw any peep of him on social media. And I don't think Antonio Brown is going to be a critical – it should be a critical part of that trade to be the deciding factor. Swift, to me, is a top 10 running back. And, I mean, those top 10 running backs are really, really hard to come by nowadays. And they're dropping by flies every now and then. Aaron Jones, and I'm telling you guys right now, I have a strong gut feeling that Darrell Henderson's going to get injured later on in the season. And I'm not trying to put
bad juju on him.
They're using him to block right and left.
Yeah.
It's only a matter of time. And Swift is all, that's all Detroit has. So
it's all.
He's going to keep getting the snaps.
Yep.
100%. Well, the last 2 weeks, I think Henderson only had like a total of 10 carries. Or something like that. Yeah. It's crazy. Yes. It's like under 15 carries or something like that.
Yeah. You also have to remember Gronk's coming back, and that's going to be your red zone target as soon as he's back. So
yep.
I agree with that.
Good call. Yeah,
I'm on, decline that hard.
Yeah, I'm on the Swift side as well. I mean, this is a guy we've been asking to get the workload forever. And I mean, good Lord, did he get the workload last week? He had 33 freaking carries. I couldn't believe how many carries they gave that guy last week. So yeah, insane. Swift.
And they still tied the game.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Ryan. Oh, actually, both of you, Maddie and Ryan, be so proud of me. Maybe I had a little too many beers on last Sunday, but I made a phone call to a friend and I made sure that she was doing okay. I said, hey, I have a question for you. I just want to make sure you're doing okay. And she's like, yeah, what's wrong, G? I'm like, well, how do you tie to the Lions as a Steelers fan? And she goes, hung up on me.
That deserved to hang up.
Yeah. Gerson also famously came on this podcast when the Raiders beat the Ravens earlier this season. Ryan would not answer any of Gerson's text messages, so he asked me to come on the show.
That's underselling. Gerson was at the game and called me from the game, so I immediately ignored that.
Decline. I would have done the same thing.
I hit that red button so quick. I was like, he's dead to me.
Yeah,
and Gerson, then he just showed up on the show.
Came in mid-show to give his Raiders ballsy. Call.
It was very ballsy. I respect it.
I'm guessing Maddie hasn't watched any of our Friday shows. How ballsy I am.
I'm going to have to tune in now.
Definitely.
That was like a dare.
All right, Maddie, I'm going to go to you on this next one. So this trade already happened. He wants to know if he paid too much. So he got Alvin Kamara. He gave up Antonio Brown, Damian Harris, and Antonio Gibson. Did he pay too much for Kamara?
Honestly, I don't think so. I mean, to me, the only loss was Harris. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've already talked about it. I said I'm selling Gibson. We've talked about Brown. I feel like your only loss is Harris, and I think it's all right. Now you have more roster space. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I think I'm the same way. I think Alvin Kamara is the one that I want there. What do you guys think?
Mm-hmm. I agree with her. All the same reasons.
Get the best player.
Yeah.
Get the best player in a trade.
No regrets.
Definitely. Yeah. All right, so let's get to the final segment of the night.
Get ready for goingfor2.com's Forgotten Fantasy Player of the Week.
All right, Gerson, I don't even know if you had time to find a Forgotten Fantasy Player, but Maddie, I'm going to go to you first here. Give us your Forgotten Fantasy Player.
Man, 2013, Chargers, Ryan Matthews.
Oh, that's a good one.
And only because that was one of the first times that I was like taking things serious, and I picked him up. It was towards the end of the season. I don't remember exactly when. Somebody got fed up and dropped him, and then he went off the rest of the season. Nice. Like, I started him as a flex, and I was rolling in the points. I was very excited about that. I will never forget that.
That is definitely the best, when you add someone that someone else dropped and then they ball mm-hmm. out the rest of the
and
season.
And then I beat him for the finals, too. The guy who dropped him. So it was even better.
How hard did they tilt?
They were.
What?
How hard did they tilt for that? I know I'd be.
You know what? And the best part is it was one of my exes. So it was like the greatest blow up I've ever had in my entire life.
Wow.
That'd be some disrespect.
You know.
Yeah.
It really was.
That's awesome. That's one of the best stories right there. The fact that you got the trifecta. You picked up somebody that somebody dropped. They balled out. You beat them in the championship game, and they were your ex. That's the trifecta right there.
Like, how can you top it?
Yeah. You know? Gerson, you got a Forgotten Fantasy Player you want to bring up? I know you didn't have much time to prep.
I did, because I know right when I was going to get on this show, that was going to be the best topic of this. I mean,
it's our favorite segment of the show.
Hey, except for the week I just completely skipped you doing one when Jeff was gone.
One of the things I see about you guys' show is that's always players that aren't in the NFL no more. This guy is actually still in the NFL. It's Jimmy Graham, 2011, when he came on the scene and scored 11 touchdowns and 1,300 yards.
Yes. I mean,
we got to thank Drew Brees, obviously, because he made a lot of forgotten players. Marcus Colston, Jimmy Graham. I mean, he made a lot of players very good. So, but, dude, Jimmy Graham, him and what? Like, basically, Antonio Gates, all those tight ends, Tony Gonzalez, like, they just came, they were on the scene around that time. Actually, I don't know. I don't think Tony Gonzalez was playing around that time, but.
He was playing around that time.
Yeah.
He was in his twilight.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's when we started seeing, like, those tight end, like, cheat codes, you know?
Yeah, they started evolving then.
Yep.
Evolving. Yeah. So, yeah, Jimmy Graham, man, I mean, even though he's still in the NFL, he's not what he was, though. But yeah,
people forget how good he was. I mean, he was really good. I mean, I think at one point he tried to fight for being a receiver because he got targeted so much. Yep, it's a good call. I like that one.
And he wouldn't get paid, like, two possessions. He was one of the first players I heard do that. And then LeBell tried.
Yep.
Happy trails.
LeBell.
Happy trails, man. It was a nice
run. Man.
All right, that wraps the podcast up. We'll go around the room, give us your Twitter handle, and if you wanted to plug anything or mention your content, and we'll go to you first, Maddie.
You can follow me at Maddie Kroll. Sometimes I'm funny, so it's worth a follow, right? And then I'll keep you updated with all the stuff if you follow me there.
Good stuff. Gerson?
Yeah, you can follow me at FantasyGDFS. And then on the Friday show, the Armchair DFS show, on the Sunday show with Adam, Evan, Eric, and Gladys. Booyah, Jeff.
You got it. You got it. Finally, after 10 weeks, you got all their names right.
On the Going for Truth Sunday pregame show, I'll be there to give you the answer to the test.
Good stuff. Ryan.
Cool Beans, find me on Twitter at Foss534. Find me here every Wednesday night. And then find me over at the SI Draft Bible. Our podcast comes out Wednesday morning.
All right, good stuff. As always, guys, you can follow me at JeffLambert77. Make sure you check out all of our shows on the Going for Two Live Network. We're live pretty much every single night of the week, so definitely check us out on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook Live. We're everywhere. So for Maddie, for Ryan, for Gersten, I'm Jeff. We'll see y'all next week.